Okay, I'd like to call to order the Massapequa Board of Education regular meeting.
Mrs. Cooley.
Here. I was just going to make sure everybody knows we're meeting.
Mr. Butts.
Here.
Mr. Dodds.
Here.
Mr. Mason.
Here.
Mrs. Zinnikus.
Here.
Mr. Detwiler and I are also here.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are a public communication. Anybody that did not sign in? Nope, seeing none. We will skip to the next section, board work session. Mark?
Yeah. Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board grant a high school diploma to Otis T. Miller, veteran.
I'll second that.
And regretfully, Mr. Miller passed away yesterday, so I would like it if we could just take a moment of silence to honor him and his service. Thank you.
Can you tell us just a little bit about Mr. Miller? I didn't know him.
I'm going to pass that on to Dr. Underhill. I don't have the information on him other than it was provided and we approved it.
He was a veteran.
Oh, really?
And I was made aware that he was going to get a diploma and everything before it passed because the conversations with survivors actually this morning. And they're very appreciative of the education for him at this moment.
Thank you. We did offer to go to the home and deliver to him personally, but he wasn't in any condition at that point. But they did appreciate it.
I'm glad to do that. So, thank you. We call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikus?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Thank you. Anything else before this session? Okay, we'll go to approval of board minutes.
Madam President, I move that the minutes of the March 14th, 21st, and 27th, 2017 meetings be approved as written.
Second. Discussion?
They have them grouped together there. I'm going to abstain just because I wasn't at the 27th one because my wife was sick. But that's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Anything else? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Mrs. Zinnikus?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
And to the financial treasurer's report.
Just kind of like to highlight a couple of things on our spending plan. I'm just going to go right to the end graph here because it speaks to something we mentioned last time, which was the green line and the black line that it overlaps there. You see the month before in January, it dipped down low, and then in February, it came up high. And then I hypothesized and assumed that it would come back down, I guess, in February, and we'd be back on track. And that's kind of what it did. That's exactly what it did. So the reason was just the timing of the tax settlements that we received. Everything fell into place. It did reconcile itself there. So we are still on track to end where we expect to end for this year. Anybody have any questions on the spending? The next item I have is the quarterly athletic fund update. We requested and I agreed to provide a quarterly athletic update. The athletic fund, independent of the general fund, it's self-supporting. Just a quick overview. FY15, where we were, at the beginning balance $5,700. Receipts of $91,000, expenditures $105,000. We ended up with a negative balance of $8,164. That was in FY13. Moving on to 16, you can see that based on the farm rent, we ended up with a positive balance of $8,950 in that account after starting with a negative balance of $8,164. That was a market improvement. And right now in FY17, which is through March 2017, quarterly update, we started off the year with $8,950. Receipts so far have been $79,130. Expenditures, $79,015. Receipts are over expenditures to the tune of $115, leaving us an ending balance of $9,065. If we look at a fiscal year comparison, you can see what we just spoke of there, compared side to side. You can see how the athletic funds improved over the last couple years, and how the farm rent allocation served its purpose also. If we look at it less than 15,000 farm rent allocation, right now we'd be sitting at a negative $5,935. So it's doing its job. It's reduced the need for that farm rent. As you recall, we reduced it from $20,000 to $15,000 this year, and the deficit wasn't as large right now. So the good news is that it's doing its job, and the athletic fund is very much stable. If you take into our receivables and encumbrances into account, you see our ending balance was the $9,065 right here. Our projected receivables that we still have to collect based on the original beginning of the year receivables proposed by the athletic department, we would still have $40,498 to collect. And currently, there are $16,970 in outstanding encumbrances, which would amount to an ending balance, projected ending balance of $32,593. I don't think we're going to be anywhere near that, just based on the fact that the receivables were somewhat over-projected, I think, based on the new league and high expectations and, you know, high hopes. And we've received most of the gate revenue that we should expect to receive. There's a little bit left to come in, a little bit of revenue left to come in, but I don't think we're going to receive anything close to $40,000. So it'll more likely net out to around an ending balance of $9,000 or $10,000, maybe upwards of $10,000 for an ending balance, which is an improvement.
Has the gates been better than the new league?
The gates have been better overall.
Our basketball gates are up and everything else. I think the market improvement will be obviously next year when football joins the league. And I was looking at that with Tim today. Next year's schedule is very conducive to being good in gates. And and that makes it, everything has been up in the new league so far. It's much better.
Do you have any large ticket receivables left?
We do. I don't know if you saw today, our scoreboard check for the football board for $4,000 came in today. We positive. We still have $4,200 for the holiday tournament to come in, and we still have $4,600 for the basketball scoreboards to come in still this year. So there's, like I said, with the check that came in today plus everything, there's still about $12,000 income to come in before the end of the school year, and there's no more expenditures.
Awesome. So I don't think there's anything really to worry about with the athletic account. I think it's improving, which is what we expected it to do. And that's a credit to Mr. Mason and Dr. Unger, and they're doing a good job with that. So, any questions on the athletic report? Okay. Last item I have for you is the our FY16 audit report. Came back and certified from the state. Our audit is conducted by Perry & Associates. That's an independent firm contracted by the state of Ohio to do our audit. I'm going to go right to the end because this is, 75 pages long, and I don't want to take
we're not going to read all of them?
Yeah, we're going to read through the whole thing. this is an easy one to present, and can't help but be a little proud of it and happy to present it. This was, and I'm going to go down through it because this is the summary, one of the last pages here. It's an unmodified financial statement opinion, which is what you expect to receive. There were no material weaknesses in internal control at the financial statement level. There were no significant deficiencies in internal control at the financial statement level. There was no reported material noncompliance at the financial statement level. There was no material weakness in internal control for major federal programs that were tested. There were no significant deficiencies in internal control reported for major federal programs that were tested. It's an unmodified opinion on the major federal programs. There were no reportable findings. The low-risk auditee, it says no, that we're not a low-risk auditee, but that's only because of the finding we had in the prior year that has to stay in the report for 2 years. So as soon as that falls off, that would be a yes as far as a low risk. And along with that, we receive typically a management letter that's normally most districts and a lot of districts and entities just share with management. We generally choose to present that to the public and to the board as well. And I don't have one to present to you because we had zero management letter comments, which is kind of unusual also to have that. But it's a great thing, and it's a testament to the treasurer's office, the people in the district that handle the various accounts, from the food service director to the athletics department to the director of operations, and it takes all of us to get that kind of an unmodified audit with no reportable conditions. No material weaknesses, no management letter comments. So we did a good job.
Good job, Todd.
Thank you for leading that.
Yeah.
One thing to point out on there, Todd, the first two items, there's been a lot of talk in this county about problems in government. That's where those weaknesses would occur that would allow things to happen that are not legal when you have those weaknesses in your control system. So it's really critical that no and no are really important for you to understand. If there was a yes there, then that's an opportunity for somebody to do something they shouldn't be doing. So that's what got other people in trouble. So just to point out, we don't have that situation.
We don't have that. Any other questions?
Questions for Todd?
Recommendation of the Treasurer, the March 2017 financial statements be accepted as presented.
A second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
I apologize, I put that out of order.
We're good with that.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve the resolution determining to proceed with submission of the tax levy as presented. I'm not going to recall that.
Second.
Discussion.
I will just point out, I think it was just a typo, but it was in the paper today, it was $2.5 million. It's $2,050,000. That's a $450,000 difference. I think we need to clarify that.
Okay.
So it is $2,050,000 for a five-year period. And this will fund the district for five additional years for services being currently provided. It's not increasing services, adding anything, that's just what we're doing now.
Okay, any other discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move with upon recommendation that the Treasurer, CFO, the Board approve the transfer of $47,500 from the General Fund to the Employee Benefits. This transfer is required for the negotiated agreement to fund the board's contribution to employees' HSA account.
Second.
Discussion.
Yeah, this is a regular transfer that we make every year as part of the negotiated agreement we have. For anybody that has the health insurance, we supply $325 per employee to their FSA account. And it's $47,450 is what we anticipate that to be and what we're transferring.
Okay.
you very much. Our first presentation tonight will be from Mrs. LeGault, our K-6 principal.
She's on a travel volleyball team. Did it not come through? Knowing me, I probably have to listen.
Sorry.
That's okay. I do stuff like that. That was my staff highlight, and it is all done. It's probably on my computer. But anyway, I had a young lady, Molly Barber. They did run an article. It's on our website. And I had asked Molly to come tonight. She was one of a very select group of students who won the Laws of Life essay as a finalist. And there were over 200 submissions. To be narrowed down to the amount that we have. There is our, that was, nice job, Tom. And she was the only one from Madison County who was given that award, and it was an award in the state of Ohio. But I did ask her if I could share her essay. Last year, we had a student who won this, and she felt very personal about her essay and did not want it shared. Molly was willing to allow hers to be shared, because they write an essay. Mrs. Gauss has her students enter this program, or this competition, and it's Laws of Life, and it's about a life lesson they've learned, what's happened in their life, a true story. So she brought it to me today, edited some things that she wanted to make sure were in a good spot for you, and brought it to me at the end of the day. It's called Unclassified. It was new. It was like a new pet. I was finally getting attention. The only problem was that if it wasn't because of my personality, it was because of my bright green cast that went up to my humerus. I was showing happiness to the world, but was that how I was actually feeling inside? August 2011. It was football season and my dad was infiltrating me to play. Did I want to? No. I wasn't the type of boy to play sports. I was into animals and technology. I was interested in anything but sports, especially football. I finally caved into playing the sport of football. I admit, I lied to my dad. My dad knew that I didn't want to actually play, but I said that I needed the experience. It was the big day, the first day of having football pads on, and I could tell that something non-beneficial would happen for me. My team was doing a drill that involved tackling one another. Unquestionably, I was the last pick. The teammate that I had to be with was the last person on the who I want to be my partner list. We were finally up to tackle. I was dreading this moment. An unexperienced football player against a pro at our level. All I knew about tackling was that you run into each other. So that's exactly what I did. I knew that there was going to be some sort of impact, but I didn't expect this level of intensity to be so forceful. I fell, trying to brace my fall with my arm, but the ground responded by not approving my fall. The next thing I heard was a crack, with an instant feeling of agony. There I was, in the back of an ambulance, being urgently rushed to the hospital. Everything was a blur. I knew I was overthinking everything, but I thought it was going to be an incurable pain. Thoughts rushed through my mind quicker than Katie Ledecky swimming a freestyle in the 2016 World Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. Just then, it felt like there were thousands of needles being shoved into my forehead. It was the most unfavorable headache I had ever experienced. The pain in my arm made me neglect the pain I felt in my forehead. We finally reached Nationwide Children's Hospital, and I was rushed to the emergency room. After about 3 hours, the doctor entered my room and told my mom and I that I had broken both of the bones in the lower arm, the ulna and the radius. Then the doctor started wrapping gauze around my arm, up to my elbow. I was unexpectedly asked what color I wanted my cast to be. I was in love with the color green, so of course I said green. This was the first piece of excitement I had experienced all day. The doctor finally finished wrapping my arm. My mom and I had to stay at the hospital a few more hours. It was the most boring 2 hours I had ever spent sitting in my life. But then we were finally able to go back to my house with my new green cast. The next day was the start of the school week, and I had to go to school with my new cast. As soon as I got to school, waves of people hovered over me in my every move. They were saying, "What'd you do? How'd you break your arm? And what are you going to do now that you've broken your arm?" Everyone overwhelmed me with their questions. The only choice I had was to shut them all out. I'd never had this many people talking to me at once. There was only one problem. The attention wasn't because of my personality. It was because of my bright green cast that went up to my humerus. I was showing happiness to the world, but that was how I was actually feeling inside. The truth was that I was feeling used, abused, and taken advantage of. The next few months, I didn't get as much attention as I did that Monday. The days were less exciting, and I wasn't used to the feeling of people at school not badgering me about my cast. That was when I knew they weren't being sincere. I knew that I was just being used. This experience was different than any other. It wasn't actually my experience. This was my brother's experience, and I could tell that he was being neglected. He showed an untruthful side of him to the world by not being honest with our dad. From this experience, I learned that when you're not honest with other people, or even yourself, it can get you into troubling situations. When this event occurred, I was only in first grade. Even though this was a very young age, I could still feel and see my brother's feelings. I noticed that he wasn't going to enjoy sports from the day he saw a horse. He immediately had a connection with animals that even a kindergartner could see. His accomplishments in the goat world include being the goat showman of showmen and grand showman of showmen at the Madison County Fair. He is also competing in a goat show series, which consists of 6 shows. His passion for goats in the past few years has shown the world that he is a role model and that he is a very responsible for the health and safety of animals. The strong theme that I noticed with this experience was that when people are not letting you decide, you can turn out to feel like you don't have as many choices in your life as you potentially could. My brother wasn't honest with my dad, and therefore he ended up with a broken arm. He also had to deal with the thought in his mind that every single day was another day that was going to be unclassified. So, and I will build on that a little bit. Here, you know, this is a 12-year-old girl writing this story. And you think about that and the experiences she felt by watching that as a 7-year-old child. That is just one example of the great things that have been going on in the K-6. One thing we've really done a lot of our data looking at down here and seeing that we have a weakness in our writing with our students and their ability to write, or their, not even necessarily their ability to write, but the perseverance to stick with it and write. We all know that state tests have been going on. And one area that the students were proud of, we can't see what's on the test. I don't know how they answered them. But if they do any organizing, note-taking, planning ahead, we have to shred those papers. They're secure documents. Last year, I maybe shredded paper about that thick from every testing day. I shredded almost 2 reams of paper from our 3rd through 6th grade students just on the ELA test. They haven't taken the other ones, with the amount of planning and writing. And I had one student come up to me after one of the tests, and these are kind of some of those unsung things that I think we hear. He goes, "Mrs. LeGault, I didn't get to finish my essay." I said, "Well, that's okay." He goes, "But I was on paragraph 6. When he did an essay at the beginning of the year, he put 3 sentences in it. And that was his response. So that's some of, this is an example of one of our student pieces, but the perseverance that our students have shown, the hard work that the teachers are putting in to what's going on in their classrooms every day. So I don't have my PowerPoint with my staff because apparently I forgot to hit send it on. But I did have 2 staff members I was going to highlight tonight. One of those is Tiffany Idle. She's a first-year teacher we have who came to us. This is her 8th year of teaching. She actually lives in Westfall District with her husband and her 2 children. She has Darby, her daughter, and her son, Brody. I'm still working on her to bring her kids to join us here. They also own their own hot mustard sauce business that she was sharing that you guys can find. They do all kinds of custom flavors. You can find them out on Facebook. So that was one of the things that, as their family, they decided, let's try to do something different. So it truly is a family business with she and her husband and their 2 kids building that business together. So something kind of the fun. So they travel around festivals in Ohio all summer long, selling some of their products. Our other one was one of our paraprofessionals, Janet Brown, and she is finishing up her 25th year working with Madison Plains. And she has lived in our district as long as she's been married to her husband for Ron of 39 years and raised both of their children through our school district, and now has 3 of her 5 grandchildren are currently attending Madison Plains. The other 2 are just not old enough yet. So they have now chosen this to be their home, even though she and her husband, neither one, graduated from Madison Plains. And their families are coming back, bringing their kids in. So you don't get to see their pictures, but I can send it to you.
Janet, okay with that?
She was actually excited.
Was she?
Yes. She helped me pick the pictures that she wanted. So I'll send it to you guys.
Good.
Does anybody have any questions about things going on? We are wrapping up towards the end of the year. Our awards day is May 18th, so we'll be putting out the actual times. If any of you want to come and join us that day, you're more than welcome. Field day's on May 17th. That's always a good time with the kids as well. All right. Have a great evening.
Nice work.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Dr. Unger.
This is a very exciting time of the year in the junior senior high school. We've got all kinds of action going on. We're in the midst of trying to plan for next year. We've got our scheduling procedures actually starting to wind down. The schedules will be completed before too long, both junior and senior high school schedules. We had a motivational speaker, Joel Penton, was in yesterday, did a wonderful job with the students. Very good message about standing your ground. And I heard a lot of comments by parents and students about that. There was a concert that a group that follows him that was last night, and it was fairly well attended for a concert at night. So a lot of good things going on there. That motivational speaker was kind of timed just so we could get towards the beginning of testing, so we can try to get them motivated to, you know, take their academics seriously. A lot of decisions being made and a lot of things going into this last few weeks of school. Just to go through a few activities that are going to happen over the next few weeks, we've got prom coming up, 8th grade dance this Friday. The physics students are going to be going to Kings Island to take some kids out, which is always a really good trip for them. We just had the FFA banquet. We've got the scholarship banquet coming up. We sent kids to Europe on a trip. We had kids going to D.C. We sent kids to New York City. We've got our paying forward activity that's going on this Friday in Mount Sterling. That's not everything. That's just a few highlights. So there's a lot of action going on. We're celebrating a lot of successes of our students this past year. One thing I want to highlight is we've been having parent focus groups. We've had two this year. We're going to have one more before the year's out. And what the parent focus groups are, we have a group of people that are very diverse, representing different backgrounds of people within the community and different interests within the school. And we meet and they sit down with myself for an hour and a half, and it's an open forum meeting and anything goes, and they bring up topics, concerns with the school, things they like about going on at the school. It's been very enlightening to hear from our parents and how they perceive things there, and they've had some very good comments about it's very nice that they can come in and openly speak about things within the school. Not only do I sit there and listen to that, we actually take notes and so on, so we have some information that comes from those meetings, and I share it with the superintendent and other administrators because it impacts areas other than just myself as a principal. It impacts student services, it impacts operations and so on, and kind of gives us a lens into what our parents are seeing, because we don't always have the opportunity to meet with all parents. We have a select few that are very active, but it's nice to get those parents in that don't necessarily have a voice all the time. One of the things that we heard out of focus groups is they wanted to have something similar to athletic signing for our college students. So we have been working on a program so that we could do that, and Lauren's been working on that. It's called Decision Day. And she's going to give some details about Decision Day here in just a second, and we'll pass out the papers and she'll talk to you about it. It's very exciting. We're going to have the band involved. We're going to have different, it's going to be more like a pep rally type atmosphere where we're going to celebrate those students that have decided to move on to a college or university or a tech school or the military. We're going to have representatives from those groups there, and we're also going to have the staff members that may be going or went to some of those different groups and organizations, wear their, you know, school spirit wear from the college, university, or military that they went to, and then we're going to have a signing at the table just like we did for athletics. But I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Lauren to kind of explain a little bit about that, and then I'm going to hand these papers out to have a little more detail.
Yeah, so this is something
something that I've heard of other, I know the former first lady actually brought in something about, she did it 2 years ago where it was reach higher or make room, it was more towards college. And I kind of decided, I said, you know, I don't want to exclude our seniors because college is not for everyone, but I think it's important to honor our students who are deciding to choose college, military, or a tech school or trade school. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to have a whole week in celebrating it. As you can see, so we kind of have a spirit week, and I was able to work with the NHS into kind of deciding how to, the different slogans and stuff like that. They were a lot more creative than I was, so this is all them. Just kind of having it where students are starting to focus on their future. So this is going to be through 7th all the way to our seniors. And what we're going to do is during Spirit Week, they'll have different things that they have to wear. You know, on Thursday, it's Don't Sleep on Your Future, PJ Day. And if they're able to participate in those, we'll be able to have their name on a little slip. And during lunchtime, we'll ask some questions. Like, which one of your staff members went into the military? And we'll give them different lists of different things. So just having them start to think of those things. Because when I talk to my seniors, I ask them, why do you want to go into to this college? Why do you want to go into this major? And a lot of times I heard, well, it's what I saw on TV. Or I made a lot of money. And I would really like them to learn, you know, more about it. So in addition to this, they're going to have these handouts that they can fill out, and they'll be able to be picked up for the questions, and it will be different careers, and they'll have to talk about the education. They'll have to talk about how much somebody makes. They'll have to talk about the skills, and also which different colleges would have that available. And then for our upperclassmen, they'll look at colleges. So they'll look at colleges that are maybe not near us, the ones that they always look at. They'll look at ones that are maybe in a different state. They'll look at ones that maybe would have different majors. And so that way it kind of broadens their understanding of what is available to them. Because I feel like a lot of times they just pick the ones that are, you know, nearby or the ones that they heard about. So that's the Spirit Week, and then what we're going to do for Decision Day, Decision Day Assembly, is just basically honor our seniors who are going to decide this. We're going to call them down, have the representative there. They're going to have swag, and you know they're going to make their own banner. All the seniors are going to make banners of the ones that they're wanting to go, and just really celebrate them. We're going to have all 7 through 12, so it makes them excited. You know, our 7th graders are going to see the seniors and be like, hey, I want to do that. And then after everyone's dismissed, our seniors are actually going to stay, and we're going to kind of have a presentation for maybe our seniors who haven't decided yet. And so our colleges are going to be there to be able to talk about their college and see if our military or different things like that, and see if maybe they would want to do that. So you guys are all invited to come. It's May 3rd at 9 o'clock, and hopefully we'll see you guys there.
Thank you. Lauren's put a lot of work into this, and she's come in, they're basically running halfway through the school year, and this sounds like a really wonderful program. So we can start celebrating our students' academic success so they can realize all the opportunities out there for scholarships, and that's going to be the rest of their life once they leave the store here on May 19th. So that's all we have. Thank you.
Matt, did you say what position Lauren holds? I don't know if you...
I read it on here.
She is guidance counselor.
Oh, I was going to say. Yes.
Guidance counselor.
Just somebody that came
welcome.
In.
Now, this is Lauren.
Okay.
I love your excitement level. Counselor. That's exciting. That sounds like a great day.
Yeah. Lots of energy and connected well to the students so far this year. And we've got a lot of exciting things happening. And next year, have a full year to get some of these programs going even better. So,
great.
Thank you, Matt. The rest of my report, I'm going to walk down through the the items that are on the agenda, new items that will be considered for voting on by you tonight. My hope is that as I go through this, questions we answer, we can kind of model what it would look like if we had a consent agenda, which is something we can consider for the future. It's not a scary thing. Most school districts do it. We just have chosen not to do that here. I just want to model it tonight to let you see how this actually works. It's nothing that different. Basically, I walk through the action items, have questions, I answer it. Then my report's over. Then you do a consent agenda on all those items. We won't do that vote tonight. It's not set up for that, but I just wanted to model that for you tonight. The first item will be bus drivers. Mr. Penny and Mrs. Jones have done a great job in getting people in the doors in the training program. It takes quite a bit of time and effort and dollars to get them trained. We have, fortunately, two folks, especially, I believe, Mrs. Gomez. She's an experienced driver, 7 years experience coming to the district, and Tina Beekman. These are two currently unfilled positions. So it's these positions, we're filling them with subs and first student, which is not only expensive, but it also makes our department, in that regard, dysfunctional, because we have to combine routes and do a lot of different things that aren't good for getting kids home as efficiently as possible. So it's exciting that we're getting those positions filled moving into next school year. Okay. Supplemental contracts. We will have the baseball positions we voted on later. Those are normal. Awarding of certified contracts. We have our first year, second year, and third year recommendations for renewals. Nothing new on there other than Mrs. Van Tile. She is listed for her first full year contract from us. That's a 1 year contract as the high school guidance counselor. And nothing else is unusual on there. I did have a question today from a member of the public asking about evaluations. Evaluations are completed on our teachers on an annual basis unless they've been rated at a skilled and accomplished level. And then it's on an every other year. Okay, so these folks are in the last year of the contract, so of course they've been evaluated this year. So
was the question, when were they evaluated or they wanted to see their evaluation?
If they're evaluated prior to being recommended to the board. Yeah. So yes. The answer is yes to that question. The only piece that we don't have is their data as that comes in, because that comes in right at this month. So it's difficult for us to include that. So really at this point you're depending on the principal's portion of the evaluation. And these have all been recommended by the principal, therefore they're recommended by me. Extended day contracts, these are the same number of days we've awarded in the past to our counselors and Mrs. Halloran. This is so they can begin the year and complete the year. They have work they have to do after school's out and prior to school starting. So these are days that are always awarded to these positions on top of their regular 184-day contract. Awarding of classified contracts. We have, again, these are not all of the classified contracts to be awarded. There are more to come at the next meeting. But for now, you have 1 year, 2 year, and continuing. And that's the cycle for our support staff. They're on a 1 year contract, then a 2 year, then continuing. You can't do 2 years forever. They get to go on a continuing contract. So this is the cycle. Again, we have a few other folks that will make this list at the next meeting. And the awarding of the exempt contracts. Mrs. Walker has been our district registrar and the administrative assistant to three different administrators, that being myself, Mr. Penny, and Mrs. Grigsby. She is split three ways. Sometimes it seems like it's more than that when she has a room full of kids out front. But she does a great job, and so she is up for her a continuing contract. Again, that's part of the cycle that she's in. And the last item I had listed was discussion of the August levy. Are there any questions on the action items?
The busing, I just had a question. As far as we may mention it, if the governor's budget changes, is this, are we prepared to go back to one-tier busing with this or no?
Unfortunately, we have two scenarios, and we're prepared for either one of them.
Okay.
I've met with Joe and Sam several times, and we're prepared for two-tier busing, and we're also prepared to go back to one-tier. I'll be honest, we don't want to go back to one tier because we think two tiers is going to be a much better scenario, but we're ready either way.
Okay.
And then we'd have to go down the list of seniority for our bus drivers to see who would be retained or not. We have a pretty good idea of how that's going to cycle out, but we're working on that with the union.
What's the time frame we're looking at? Is it June when the governor's budget will be finalized?
That's when they are supposed to be done, is June. But you don't know. I mean, they could extend beyond that. They're not supposed to, but they could. My hope is late May, they settle. So at our June meeting, we know exactly what we're going to be doing.
And when it's settled, then it's the funding doesn't really kick in until around October. Also, people start realizing whatever funding, make adjustments up to that at that point. Whatever they shorted us or overpaid us from July to August.
And just for the public, because of the latchkey program or whatever, it's my understanding that that's...
Right. I'm glad you asked that. I got the call from DSC today on that, too. We ended up with 17 students enrolled, pre-registered. Our goal was 25. If we didn't get 25, it would not be viable because the pricing would be so exorbitant that we don't think those 17 would be interested in it. When I talked to Dan today, I told him that, and he said, look, he said, we'll keep you in mind. We've got everything lined up. You guys do it next year, we'll be there for you. So the ESC is ready. It's just a matter of we did not see the interest. So my recommendation is we will not move forward with it for next year. I think we've done everything we possibly could to get, you know, solicit our parents. We sent letters home with all the kids, we did multiple one calls, and we opened it up for 3 additional weeks. We got one more student after that, so apparently there's just not that interest right now. So that is not in the plans at this point.
I appreciate the update. I just want to make sure it's happening. Did we contact the 17 families?
We haven't yet. I wanted to report out to you guys, so make sure that you guys know first, because if we sat here and you said, well, we want to do it anyhow, I didn't want to tell them we're not, but my recommendation
is... right, to call all of them and say, hey, here's what we're doing.
We'll probably send a letter to them.
Okay.
So that's the situation there. Any other questions on the action items? At this point, I would have said those are the action items for tonight, then you would have asked for a vote for the consent agenda, and you would have voted one time on all those items. Okay. The other item I had was for the levy in August. Just an update. I'm having conversations with SHP, who will do the data analytics for us in regards to analyzing our voting populace to see where we're going to focus our energies. I have meetings with the union scheduled. Again, when I say we will develop a plan, when I say we, it's everybody in this room, it's the administration, it's the staff, it's the community. If the expectation is that myself or Todd will get this levy passed, it won't pass. That does not work. What works is when the community works to pass it. If I have to be out in front, that means we don't have the community behind us anyhow. I will be, and I'll be doing everything I possibly can, but I also know what it takes to pass an operating levy. We will prepare a levy plan, whatever you call it, the playbook, whatever you want to call it. That will be presented. You guys will see that at our next meeting. It will already be in place and operating, but publicly I will provide that to you to show you what we're doing. But the key thing is we got to know who to focus in on. We got to have our union membership working with us. They've agreed, both unions have agreed, they know they have to do their part. And the goal is, this is a one-time thing. We've got to get this operating out of the way, get our PI out of the way, then we have other issues. We know we have facility issues. Mr. Finney's reported out on that. All of our vendors that work in our building say you have a lot of issues. So obviously we have to make some major decisions what we're going to do with our facilities, whether we're going to reinvest or rebuild something else. So we've got to get the operating levy out of the way in August. It makes no sense to go into next year for anybody, especially our unions. That's our contract year. They don't want to be talking about negotiations in a year in which we possibly just fail to levy, so they're going to work hard because it's about operating money. So that's the plan with the August levy. Any questions on that?
Sir, levy committee, you will form at some point in time. Is that how that works?
That'll be part of the plan.
Part of what they do?
Yep.
Okay.
when we sit down with SHP, you know, they have lots of different ideas. I have ideas. Some of the key components, one of the key items we will have to have is key community members that need to be a part of this. And it may not be that they're out doing anything other than saying, I think we should vote for this. I think you should vote for this publicly. The one thing the board can do for this effort is to provide those names of folks that you think are community key people that we need to have attached to this levy effort. That's what it's going to take. And it's going to take for each village, each area to have somebody that publicly says, we need to do this. If and when we do get to the point where we're talking about facilities, I keep in my mind saying it's our time. Because everybody says it's our turn, because everybody else has got new buildings. We can't get to that point to even talk about that until we've secured our operational situation. So that's first, PI second, then we'll talk about facilities and what we want to do. So that's the game plan. All right.
Questions?
And that concludes my report. That's your new business. I guess there's one other item on your new business, and that's the approval list of graduates, but I didn't think I needed to talk about that a whole lot. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, that will take us to, we have no unfinished business. We will move right on to new business.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following seniors who are scheduled to participate in commencement exercises on May 19th, 2017, as listed.
Second. Okay, discussion?
You thought it was your son, but.
Your son's on there.
I'm sorry?
Your son's on there.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
Are you shot?
He said, yay. Can you call roll, please?
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zepis?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ the following to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the remainder of the 2016-2017 school year. Mrs. Gomez and Tina Beekman, bus drivers.
That's how I pronounce it.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0. Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2016-2017 school year for Tom Geyer, varsity assistant baseball coach, Don Bailey, assistant varsity softball coach, Ty Leach, assistant baseball coach, and Jake Valerie, assistant baseball coach on 50-50 split.
Second.
Discussion.
Does that 50-50 split mean they both have the same position, they just do half of it?
They get half the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Half the responsibility.
Probably all the responsibilities.
Doesn't
usually
work that way.
Just one pay spot.
If I know the other Mr. Mason in the room, it's probably all the responsibility.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
35-0.
Madam President, upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following certified contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract beginning with the 2017-2018 school year.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board award the following extended day contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2017-2018 school year, as listed.
Second. Discussion?
Can you just give a little detail what the additional days are for?
They have additional closeout work, especially at the end of the year when school's out, and helping kids with their college preparation and things like that. That's why the elementary and intermediate counselor days are shorter. Hers is more prior to the school year starting. And then Mrs. Howard, she has a lot of prep prior to school starting. So, and going into detail, I can't give you all that, but I know that historically that's what we've used, and that's what they always, we've had this discussion before, is that too much or too little? I remember 6 years ago, it was a little more than that on the high school calendar, so we scaled it back. So we think we're at a pretty good spot. It's in line with other school districts, so it makes sense. We have to make sure they have time to get that work done. I can get you more information on that if you want more.
Any other discussion, questions? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board award the following classified contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract beginning with the 2017-2018 school year.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award a continuing contract to Julaine Walker, paid in accordance with the hourly exempt employee's wage schedule as approved by the Board of Education beginning with the 2017-2018 school year.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the following donations.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We have no new agenda items. So I make a motion that we enter into executive session at 7:52 p.m. for the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G for Section 1 to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. I'm going to add Section 3. Conferences with an attorney, and Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
Second.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
And we will be taking no action at the meeting. We will, however, have a change in our meeting date for the next meeting. We'll announce that as soon as we determine what that date would be. Maybe about a week. We'll just take a five-minute